Welcome to this message from Alpha and Omega Ministries International. We value the Word of God as an instrument of growth in our lives, using it to mend our ways, align our thinking, and ultimately bring restoration. We trust that you will be blessed and encouraged by what we have to share.
Today, I have chosen, as you know, we are entering into the Holy Week tomorrow. And so I have chosen as my theme tonight to minister on God's chosen ways and methods. The ways that God uses and the methods by which He works in order to bring about His will amongst us, His will on earth. And I want us to really pay attention to what the Spirit has revealed to me today that I am going to try to communicate the revelation that I have received. Though this is not something new, I'm sure you've heard this before, but in the past few days, God has made this so alive in my heart that I felt I needed to minister to you on this subject. God's chosen ways and methods. And as a foundational scripture, Nikki is going to read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through to 29.
For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence.
Praise God for His word. Now, Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, emphasizes an important principle, and it is this. He says to the Corinthians that God's ways and God's methods of working are completely opposite to the world system of doing things. They are in contrast. They are incompatible with the world's way of working and the world's way of thinking. In verse 26, he says that not many among them were considered wise by worldly standards. Not many were considered noble, wealthy, or powerful. There were some, but not many. And he goes on to say that what the world considers as foolish, as weak, as base and lowly, what the world considers as despised and even nothing, are the very things God chooses to work with in order to confound the mighty of the world and the wise of this world. This is interesting. The reason being, why does God choose the weak things to bring down the mighty and the strong of the world? And the reason is being that God will not share His glory with anyone. And when He does something, there is no doubt as to who did it, so that no flesh, no human being should ever glory in God's presence and say, I did this. That's why God uses those insignificant things, those things which the world considers as nothing, as they are despised to the world. They wouldn't even touch it. God takes those things and He brings down the mighty of the world. And as the scripture says in Romans, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And we will see how God did it through the cross. Now, if you see yourself in any of those categories that the word mentions, know that God's eyes are upon you. You see, so many people find these excuses that, well, I'm not educated, I'm not strong, I'm not powerful, I'm not wealthy, and on we go on. But you know what? All that God requires from us is our availability. We need to make ourselves available to God from day to day so that he can do his work through us. He does not require us to be strong. In fact, he says, if you are weak, if you come to terms with your weakness, then my power will flow through you in a perfect way. Now, if the world considers you as unimportant, insignificant, weak, despised, disqualified, or even uneducated, you are a candidate for God to do great things through you, because those are the people whom God chooses in order to reveal his glory, so that no one could glory in God's presence and say, my might and my power did this, or my influence did this. That's why God uses those instruments. And all you need is some training in the ways of the kingdom of God before the Lord anoints you for great things. Amen? Now, we see, for example, when Jesus looked for men to train, to disciple in the ways of God so that they would become his successors, he chose to go down to the seaside. And whom did he call? Whom did he choose? Ordinary and uneducated fishermen. He called tax collectors, even called prostitutes. So here is an important revelation we should pay attention to if we desire to be empowered by God. When we come to terms, as I've mentioned, with our own weaknesses in the flesh, we then position ourselves, according to the scripture, in a place where God can fill us with his strength. That's why the scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say, let the weak say, I am weak. In our weakness, God manifests his strength. Isaiah says, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29, we read the following. Isaiah 40, verse 29.
He gives power to the weak, to those who have no might, he increases strength.
Notice that God gives power not to the strong, but to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. And that's what Paul is communicating to us further down when God spoke to him and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. The power of God flows perfectly through vessels who have come to terms with their own weaknesses in the flesh. And that's when Paul confirms this in his own testimony. Remember when he prayed and he asked God three times to deliver him, he said, from his thorn in the flesh. And here is his own testimony of what God said to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9.
And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen. Speaking about Christ's crucifixion, Paul writes the following in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4.
For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you.
This is a tremendous revelation which was revealed to me a number of years, many years ago, and I'll tell you the story. But notice what the scripture says. For though, speaking of Jesus, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. Notice how weakness and power goes hand in hand in this verse. And many years ago, I think it was the year of 1987, I was summoned by the Bishop of Johannesburg to appear before him. And so I drove all the way from Masvingo to Johannesburg to see him. And in that meeting, he called several other priests from the Orthodox Church, mainly who opposed my ministry to the Greek Orthodox people. And for an hour and a half, they threw all kinds of questions at me regarding my qualifications to preach, on which theological school I've studied, who authorized me to preach, and on and on and on. Anyway, to cut a long story short, at the end of the meeting, I was forbidden to preach, and I was labeled as a heretic in the Orthodox Church. So I returned home to Zimbabwe, and for days, I recall, I couldn't even pray from the deep disappointment that I've experienced. Morning by morning, I would come before the Lord, and I had no words to pray. Just waited upon God, and preaching to the Greek community was my dream, was my passion and my purpose in life. I could not imagine not doing that, and all of a sudden everything was shut down. The door was closed. They crucified me and they buried me at that meeting. And in prayer one morning, the Lord's Spirit whispered these words to my ear, and he reminded me of the very verse of scripture that we just read, how Jesus was crucified in weakness, but he was raised again by the power of God. And so this is what the Lord whispered to me that morning. I'll never forget it, the longest day I live, which brought such great encouragement to my soul. He said, "Son, they crucified and buried your ministry, but I will raise you up and I will cause you and cause your ministry to reach every corner of the Greek community worldwide with my gospel." I was encouraged. I was strengthened because I knew that I heard the Spirit of God. That was the year of 1987. And in the years that followed, our ministry to the Greeks exploded through the tape ministry, through the radio ministry, and even television ministry in Greece. We went as far as Australia and New Zealand. We established offices all over, wherever there was a Greek community, in the United States, in New Zealand, in Australia, in Cyprus, in Greece. And from one country to the next, the word of the Lord just traveled and many received salvation. And that very scripture was materialized and fulfilled after a number of years. In weakness, I was crucified, but the Lord's Spirit raised me up again by the power of God. What a revelation. Listen, if God has called you to do something, no matter who opposes you, no matter who comes against you, no matter who reviles you, they cannot stop the will of God. No one can except yourself. If you give up, if you become so disappointed, you give up hope and you walk away, you will not be able to fulfill the call of God. But no one from the outside can stop your destiny, because the Lord will help you overcome every obstacle. Amen. This is how I believe God wants us to live from day to day. In weakness, we are delivered always to death so that we would be raised up in the power of the Spirit. That's when you experience the life of the Spirit, the abundant life that Jesus spoke about. Then again, another of God's tools is using the foolish things of the world. What the world considers foolish, that's what God uses in order to bring about his purposes. We see many examples in the Bible in which God chose something so foolish to give his people victory over their enemies. And I'm reminded of the story of Joshua. The way he conquered Jericho, who was known for its fortified walls, Joshua used something that was so foolish in the eyes of the world. What did God tell him to do? He said to him, I don't want you to shoot even an arrow. I want you to walk around the city 7 times for 7 days, once a day. And on the 7th day, you walk 7 times. No one says a word, but on the 7th time of the 7th day, you blow the trumpet. And that's exactly what he did. He followed the instructions that the Lord gave him to the letter. And on the 7th day, the 7th time they went around the walls, walking around the walls in silence, and they blew the trumpets, the walls came tumbling down. Now, how foolish is that in the eyes of the world? They didn't even throw an arrow. God did it. There was no doubt who brought the walls down. It wasn't Joshua, it wasn't his army, it was the Lord who brought the walls down. You see, the natural working together with the supernatural. God told him to do something so natural. And in doing that, God stepped in and brought the supernatural. The other day, the Lord said to me, what I'm asking you to do is not difficult. Just do what you can in the natural, and I will do what you cannot do. I will bring in the supernatural. And that's how God works. Do not underestimate the power of just a simple natural instruction that God gives you. It may seem foolish to you. Do that. Do exactly what he tells you to do, and what you cannot do, he will do. And that's how God works. Then again, another example is when God gave victory to Jehoshaphat. Remember, we read the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat faced 3 enemy nations. They came against him. In the natural, there was no way that Jehoshaphat and his armies could defeat the 3 enemy nations. They were outnumbered. Thousands by thousands, they came from every side. And Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, he turned to the Lord with fasting and with prayer. And God gave him a plan, an instruction. And he said to him, you need not fight in this battle. But this is what I want you to do. And listen to what Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 and 22.
When he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated.
Amen. Now, which army today would consider positioning on the front lines of the battle singers who would sing and praise the Lord? How foolish is that in the eyes of a natural man? The world cannot understand that. But that was the instruction the Lord had given him. That sounds so foolish, isn't it? The world believes you fight fire with fire, not with songs and praise. And yet, the Lord brought victory to Jehoshaphat and his nation. And they turned against one another, the enemies, the 3 nations. They destroyed each other. And Jehoshaphat didn't have to throw an arrow, didn't have to fight. He just stood. He believed God. He did what he was told. And God stepped into the situation and delivered the entire nation. How foolish is that? Paul here is communicating to us a principle that God chooses these foolish things of the world to confound the mighty. All we need to do is just make sure that we've heard clearly the instruction of the Lord and just do exactly what he says, and he will do what you and I cannot do. Amen. The instruction I receive from the Lord, you know, every morning now I walk the streets of Plattekloof, my neighborhood, up and down every morning. But I walk with a purpose. God said, walk. Pray in the Spirit and walk. Leave the rest to me. I said, Lord, for how long? He said, I'll tell you when to stop. So I'm expecting what he did for Joshua and Jericho, he will do for me. There are invisible walls in this neighborhood, just like your neighborhood. Walls that you cannot see, that imprison the people with fear, with prejudice, with hatred, with unforgiveness. And those walls, I have no might against them. But God will bring them down as I obey the instructions of the Spirit. And I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. Just imagine, if you will, the Ukrainian general now instructing his band to go ahead of the fighting forces, singing praises to the Lord as they face the mighty army of the Russians. That's foolish. But Jehoshaphat was a God-fearing man. The nation of Israel was a God-fearing man. And I do believe that if the nation turns to God in one accord, believing and trusting God, he would give them victory after victory after victory in every sphere of life, economically, politically, health-wise, in every sphere of life. Amen. That's what will happen when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom here on earth. Amen. Now, if these are the ways and the methods that God chooses to work with, anyone who desires to be anointed by God, he must become foolish and despised in the eyes of the world. Did you hear that? You want to be anointed by God to do great things? You will look so foolish in the eyes of the world. They cannot understand you. The Bible says the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit. This is in stark contrast to modern day believers, I believe, who embrace today the mannerisms, the values of the world, and will do anything to be accepted, to be recognized and praised by the world. James says in his epistle, chapter 4, anyone who pursues friendship with the world and its ways is called an adulterer and makes himself an enemy of God. Did you read that in the scriptures? James chapter 4. The psalmist said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. We need to come to a place, folks, where our minds are renewed with the word of God, with the ways of God, with the methods of God that he uses. If we keep thinking like the world and embracing the values of the world, embracing the mannerisms of the world, we make ourselves an enemy of God, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We must come, I believe, to the place, if we desire to be anointed by God, where we despise the wisdom of this world and what it stands for, and embrace the wisdom of God. David wrote in Psalm 139, we read in verse 21 through to 24 the following.
O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life.
Here David is asking the Lord to search him and reveal to him if there are any of the world's ways in him that offend God. He says, Lord, search me. Let me know what is in my heart. Let me know what is in my thoughts. He's asking God to search his mind, to search the thoughts that he embraced. If any of those thoughts are enemies of God, and they found a home within David's mind, so that when David sees and he receives light and revelation, he can get rid of those thoughts that he has been thinking on. And so many times we welcome thoughts, the thoughts of the enemy, and we think it's our thoughts. We entertain them. We ponder on them, where we should reject them because that is not the way God thinks. He says, search me, O God. Know my anxious thoughts. Are there any thoughts in me that offend you? Show me so that I can repent and get rid of them. David wanted to have a pure heart before the Lord, and he did. And that's why God testified of him that David was a man after his own heart. Someone said that if you want to please God, look at what the people of the world are doing and do exactly the opposite. Do exactly the opposite. You will be more right with God. Amen. And finally, let's look at one final instrument that God used to win the greatest victory ever won over his enemy and the enemy of mankind. Do you know what that instrument is? The cross. The cross of Christ. The cross was the most despised instrument in those days. It represented humiliation. It represented shame and the most violent death. And yet, that was what God chose to defeat Satan, his cohorts, and bring his kingdom to nothing. God chose the cross. And through the cross of Christ, the scripture tells us, he broke Satan's power and authority over mankind. Through the blood of the cross, the Bible says he reconciled us to himself by forgiving all of our sins and our trespasses. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. On that day, when I was confronted with the cross, as I related to you last week, I was faced with a choice, like all of us. You are faced with a choice. And the choice was, either I would embrace the cross and die on it, die to myself, and live by the power of the Spirit, or reject it and continue down a path of destruction. Well, thank God, by the grace of God, I chose the cross, and I have never looked back again. Paul gives us a strong warning about many, he said, in the household of God who reject the cross. They consider themselves enemies of the cross by continuing to pursue their own agenda. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things.
Amen. It is terrifying. Because if you notice, Paul says there are many, many who reject the cross. Many are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's not talking about unbelievers, folks, or sinners. He's talking about so-called believers who profess to know Christ, and yet they reject the cross. In other words, they refuse to take up the cross and follow the Lord. They continue to pursue their own dreams, their own agendas, their own selfish desires. And that way, by doing that, they consider themselves enemies of the cross. But I'm sure none of you are an enemy of the cross. We submit ourselves to the cross of Christ. We embrace the cross and we say, Lord, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. And so these are some of the ways and the methods that God uses. So as we get close to the Spirit of God, we listen for instructions. Some things are made plain and are revealed to us through the Scriptures, but there are certain things that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and communicate to you in your personal walk with Christ. Listen to the instructions he gives you. You're facing a problem, you're facing a challenge. Seek the Lord. Ask him to speak to you, to show you, to give you an instruction or to give you a plan how he wants you to go about what you are dealing with. And he will show you his wisdom and he will show you his plan. God loves to speak to all of his children. So let us listen. Let us have an attentive ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to you in your own situation. Amen? Can we do that? Can we pray and ask the Lord and say, Lord, give me a listening ear. Open my ears that I may hear. Not these ears, but the ears of our spirit. That we may hear, that we may receive that instruction from the Spirit, that inner witness, that guidance that he loves to give to all of his children. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. A stranger they will not follow, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Amen? Let us learn to hear these wonderful instructions that the Spirit gives us from day to day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for revealing to us and showing us, Lord, important principles that what the world considers weak and foolish and despised are the very things you chose to work with, to use, and to bring about victory and to bring about glory to your wonderful name. So that none may glory in your presence, Lord. We thank you for giving strength to the weak. We thank you for increasing might to those who have no strength. And Lord, some of us may be in a challenge right now. We might be facing enormous challenges, whether it is in our health, in our finances, in our family relations. Lord, you have the solution and the answer to every problem, to every situation, to every crisis. Give us an ear that is able to hear your voice, your instructions, as we walk in obedience to you, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise for the person of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You did not leave us comfortless. You came and you live in the person of your Spirit within us, to be our friend, to be our comforter, our guide, our very own teacher. Help us to get to know you, blessed Spirit, and to walk with you from day to day, in Jesus' precious name. We ask, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For additional resources or more information about this ministry, come and visit us at alphaomegaint.com. www.alphaandomega.org.za.